that we've been getting reports back of some really amazing miracles happening when words are not. Who was here on Sunday night? Who wasn't here Sunday night? About half of you. And, you're not in trouble, it's okay. But I would love for all the people who come to this meetings throughout the week, if we could get everybody here on the same night, it'd be packed. And but don't worry about the packing out, that'll take care of itself. You see, what we've got here is a gathering of hungry people. And that hunger, as it begins to spread out, people are starting to fast and pray now. It'll soon be into lost souls getting saved, sick bodies getting healed. But God's just doing a wonderful thing here. But on Sunday night, Bob's wife, what's your name? I've forgotten.
Esther.
How could you forget Esther? And she just gave a... Tuesday night, was it? Tuesday. Oh, okay. No, it wasn't the last Sunday night. No, it was Tuesday. Okay. And who knows? Anyway, the last time we were all together, which is probably Tuesday, she gave this word of knowledge and someone who had paralysis on the left side of their face and from a neck injury and blah, blah. Anyway, nobody was responding. I thought, well, I knew that word of knowledge was from God. I could just feel it. And so I said, come on, who's responding? Then Josh came over to me and just said, I think it's someone on the webcam. So I'd forgotten at that point that it was on the webcam. People are watching on the webcam. So I just said, is anybody here with that problem? Paralysis on the left side of your face from a neck injury that happened recently. God's healing you now. And then we just asked people just to write in. And a good friend of ours in Elmira, New York, was watching it and began to see the comments coming in. And one of the comments came through saying, yeah, I ran into a pole, something like that. Must have been jogging or something, ran into a pole. This young man put his neck out about a week ago, a week from last Tuesday. And it caused paralysis on the left side of his face, obviously. Must have damaged the nerves there from his neck injury. And as the word of knowledge was being given, God just instantly healed him. And thanks be to God. Another word of knowledge, what someone wrote in, someone had a word of knowledge, because what had happened was a lot of different people. I mean, we were teaching how to move in the Spirit, and I just get people out, so we'll do it. And I put Bob on the spot, just called him out, says, I haven't particularly got anything. I said, I didn't ask you that, just say something, it'll come. And so he did. And about this person with a lot of pressure on their sinuses, and it doesn't seem much to us, but someone was instantly healed watching webcam when he said that. And writing in and testifying. So we're going to download these. And someone else with a collarbone or a shoulder injury, which is causing a lot of problems on the side of their head there, and side of their neck, I should say, and God instantly healed them, as well as the different things that God was doing in the meeting. So God's on the move, and it really is. And this is all part of it. You see, we've got to understand the Azusa Street Revival. I don't think the building could seat over 100 to 150 people, and yet that revival touched the world. Wow. In a church that could only fit 100, 150 people. How do you figure that? We often, and then sometimes God will release like the Florida outpouring with the Lakeland Revival, which 100 million were touched by that, watching it on God TV, and as well as all the thousands upon thousands that were showing up at the meetings. But what happens is there's a lot of revivals that go on that cause us to fall in love with Jesus again and get our hearts back onto him and begin to do the work what God's called us to do. And that's what's turning out here. And you see, if you just go for crowd gathering service, that becomes an evangelistic meeting. And I could do that. I could turn into evangelist mode and preach certain messages that'll bring people out of the woodworks. But we're not really interested in that. We're interested in revival and God and people's hearts getting centered on Christ again and falling in love with him, which affects your prayer life, your reading of the word, witnessing for lost souls. And there's a lot of incredible things happening. And plus the tons, the scores and scores of visitors that we get each night coming. And so we're just giving you an update there. And so things are on the move. Turn to the person next to you and say, things are on the move. And you're a part of it. But I want to talk to you for just a little while, and it's not going to be a normal message, because usually these type of meetings, you have good worship, then you hear the message, and then everyone gets begins to ignite their faith to be stirred up to receive something at the end of the meeting. I want you to get rid of that mentality and begin to realize and start coming to these meetings expecting God to do something in us and in the atmosphere here right from the first song. And if we understand the power of praise and worship, every church that I was a part of and the ones that I'd planted in Australia, and a few of them, three of them actually, took off in revival. By revival, I don't mean good meetings. I mean it affected the city that we were in very, very positively. Crime rates dropping and all the different types of things happening with a lot of people getting saved and so on. But one thing was always for sure, the power on the praise and worship. Many churches that start, the Holy Ghost would say, get worshipping straight away. And I used to play the guitar or the piano and just believe God to bring in anointed musicians. Or if they weren't anointed, they soon would be. And it used to happen every time. And man, the feature of why people used to fly in from all over Australia many times, and pastors used to fly in, was because of the prophetic on our worship that got us into the glory of God. And it would just go on for ages. But we would put a time. Sometimes it'd be half an hour. Sometimes it'd be 2 hours. We didn't care. Whatever God wanted. While the anointing's there, people don't mind. So when the anointing's not there, people get a bit irritable after a while. So we need to just flow with God. So just as a foundation scripture, you can either listen or turn to it. But in Matthew 5 verse 8, I briefly touched on this in another meeting. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now I looked up the Greek meaning of what the words pure seeing God meant. And I put those pure heart seeing God, taking those Greek words and put them into a English sentence. This is what blessed are the pure in heart means, for they shall see God. It means blessed are the clean and transparent in their thoughts and feelings, for they shall gaze with eyes wide open as at something remarkable as God appears in his different characteristics to them. I'll say it again. Blessed are the clean and transparent in thoughts and feelings, for they shall gaze as with eyes wide open as at something remarkable as God appears in his different characteristics. Now, what is God's different characteristics? Well, God shows himself through different ways of worshipping him, being led by the Holy Ghost. Worship was never about songs, friends. In fact, praise and worship, you know, often we think of praise, they're the fast ones, you know, blah, blah, blah. And worship is the slow ones. But the Bible doesn't differentiate. In fact, you could just say everything is under worship. Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go so that they might worship me. And so worship can be loud, it can be soft, it can be quiet, it can be meditative, it can be warfare. But for want of a better word, we'll say praise and worship. And there's many different Hebrew words for worship, but I'll just categorize them in seven different words for praise. We'll just demonstrate it as we go along. And as you begin to get this, or if you've already got it, you'll be refreshed in it, then you'll start to say, Father, I just ask you by the Holy Ghost that this will really get through to these people, because I know this will be a revival and a lot of things are going to start happening in worship, Lord Jesus. So it's important that we really get this, Lord. So we just blow away all the spiritual cobwebs and we just open up our hearts to receive revelation from your word tonight. Everybody said. Amen. So like I said, I've chosen seven Hebrew words for worship or for praise, same thing. And the first one is called Yada. Everyone say yada. Yada. It's a Hebrew word. It means to worship God with extended hands. It can accompany with the voice and things like that. But it's to worship God with the extending of hands. People often say, why do we lift up hands in church? Does the worship leader ask us to? Or sometimes we just do it by ourselves. Because what you are doing at those times is you are yadaring God. You are praising and worshiping God, and you just feel, you just want to extend your hands. And as you do that, it begins to release the glory. Let's turn to a few scriptures on this. Psalm 9, verse 1. Because these sort of anointings happen all the times, and you might get one or more, or the whole lot of these seven Hebrew words all happening in one meeting. And it's important that we begin to pick up the right anointing. Like, it's no use going into warfare if there is a soft, loving anointing. It's no use trying to take into calm, nice worship time if there's a spirit of joy and shouting and warfare. What's the difference? Do we just make it up as we go along? No. We endeavor to be led by the Spirit and through feelings and promptings and impressions in our heart. We don't say, well, the Holy Ghost told us to do this, but we just felt to go a certain way. We just felt to sing a certain song. And because we're spirit people, the Holy Ghost speaks to our spirit, we just follow him. And if it's God, it releases more of his tangible presence. And if it's God, it begins for people to start to get healed and full of joy, and the power of God begins to hit people. Not just in the preaching or at the altar call. Why don't we start to believe God for a move of God right from the beginning of the meeting? Who's open to that? Right from the beginning, you come to church, and even the revival meetings are exciting, get more exciting, because we wouldn't have a clue what the heck's going to happen. All we know is that we're going to walk out of those meetings more like Jesus and more in love with him. That's all that really matters. How do we know these meetings are of God? Well, look at the fruit of what's happening. People are getting healed. People, when they come along who are unsaved, they'll get saved. But people are getting hit. People are getting refreshed in the Holy Ghost. People's lives are changing. That's how you can tell that it is a move of God. All right. So Psalm 9, verse 1, it says, I will praise you, O Lord. That word praise is, I will yada you, Lord. I will worship you, my God, with extended hands, with all of my heart. And while I'm doing that, I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. And I will sing praise to your name, Most High. And my enemies will be turned back. They will stumble and perish before your presence. See, we don't think much of it, but we're led by God to extend our hands to him. Look at all the wonderful benefits that start to happen. Well, we begin to tell him of all his wonders. He reveals to us what his wonders are all about. We begin to tell him. In other words, we're singing songs to him. We will be glad and rejoice in you. Spirit of joy begins to fall. My enemies will turn back. Demon spirits and fiery darts of the enemy that are afflicting us begin to turn their back on us and run, because we're extending our hands in a form of a prophetic declaration. We just don't come to a meeting and say, well, I think we'll yada today. And, well, let's say everyone stick. If you do that in the flesh, nothing will happen. Some of you, most of you, are doing all this stuff without biblical knowledge on it. You just put it on the word praise. But when you begin to understand what's happening, see, when I begin to look around in worship, which I often do, and I see people doing certain things, when I see the majority, they're all lifting their hands, or they're all starting to get into it with joy or something, it's obvious that's the way the Spirit's moving. You just flow with that. Then you adapt your songs to that, and you just flow with the ebbs and tides of the Holy Spirit. So to worship God with extended hands, look at Psalm 28, verse 7. The Bible's very clear, my people perish through lack of knowledge. We don't want a revival that's going to be for 6 weeks or for 2 years. We want to see a revival that just keeps going and going until Jesus comes. Because Kingston, it's not just about Kingston, it's about spreading out. And how do we spread out? Through missions work, through planting churches, through the city getting together and this hitting every church. Instead of pastors fighting and squabbling over whether they church should be the main church or not, who cares? God's chosen to use this facility. He's chosen to use Vaughan as the host pastor whose heart is open to the city. So for God's sake, pastors, if you're listening on webcam in this area, get on board with the thing. And swallow your stinking pride. Let's get on board with the thing. And start to not make excuse about, oh, I'm too busy to come. This is about a move of God. And it's touching and changing a lot of people. And we want it to touch this city and way beyond this city. Okay, Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks, or I will give praise to him in the song. This word praise is yada. So here we see that it just doesn't mean extending our hands and everything's quiet. In this case, he's saying, the Lord's my strength, is my shield. He heard the cry of my heart for mercy. So when you begin to worship God in this type of atmosphere, and you just feel to lift your hands, in the midst of worship, you can even begin to sing songs, Lord, saying, God, help me in my time of need. Show me your mercy. And he begins to answer your prayer in this type of worship. And then what begins to happen then is your heart begins to leap for joy. The spirit of joy comes upon you, which usually expresses itself in laughter. And I will give thanks to him in the song. And so that's why David, I believe that that's why the word of God says that the rebuilding of David's tabernacle is nothing more than the rebuilding of praise and worship the way David used to do it. He was a man after God's own heart. He sung all the psalms he wrote. He sung all of them. And you look at David's psalms from when he was in depression to victory to in sin. He always got the victory at the end of the chapter. Always. Sometimes he'd come to God very depressed and he'd let you know, oh God, I'm in distress. My enemies are all about me. And he's singing this to God, but he always got the victory. And that's the key, because this is what it's all designed for, worship. All right, one more. Psalm 33, verse 2. It says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you his righteous. It is fitting for the upright to yada, to praise him. It is fitting for us to worship God with extended hands. Then it goes on to say, praise the Lord with the harp, making music to him. In the 10-string lyre, sing him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. There you are, guys, play skillfully, which you do. I don't, but you do. So that's good. But, you know, that's what it's all about. Right, that's the first thing, right? I mean, this is a series I used to do for 6 weeks straight, speaking about an hour and a half each one. So I'm just giving you an overview of it tonight. The next one is Barak, or Barak. Everyone say Barak. I don't know how you say it in American, but it's something like that anyway. And this word Barak is another form of worship. It means to kneel, to bless God in an act of adoration. That's what it means. And so you look at Psalm 72. Just look there when you see it in the Word of God. Psalm 72, verse 15. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and praise him. Some of your translations say bless, it's the same thing. That word praise him all day long means Barak, that people will kneel and begin to bless God as an act of adoration. That's why sometimes in meetings, you see, someone might be yadaring before the Lord, extending their hands, worshiping either joyfully or quietly, whatever the mood of the Spirit is in the meeting, the Holy Spirit, I mean, while the person sitting across from you is beginning to barak the Lord. They just feel to get on their knees. As an act of adoration, they begin to bless God. Perfectly biblical. It doesn't mean that all these things can only be done one at a time. Someone can be baraking, someone can be yadaring. All different forms. In fact, the whole seven as we go through them can be all happening in one meeting. Ten are doing it this way. Ten. You might say, that's confusion. No, that's the Holy Spirit. And other times it just hits the whole lot. One just hits the whole lot. Bang. You just got to be open to him. It's whatever he wants. Not about us. But Psalm 72, well, we've already looked at that, 15 to 17. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. When you're in this type of kneeling before the Lord as an act of adoration, you get revelation from the Holy Ghost that his name endures forever. That this thing called a Christian life is about living for eternity. It's about living forever. And so we don't see our little snippet of life for 70, 80, 90 years, whatever, 100 years down here, we realize that what we're learning and what we're experiencing in worship is training to reign in heaven forever with Jesus Christ. And in the Holy Ghost, we get a glimpse of that when we're kneeling before God. If you just decide to kneel in the flesh, well, that's a good thing to surrender your life to God. These things won't necessarily happen. But when you get that unction in your spirit, just kneel. Or lay before the Lord, you know, just do it. And the type of revelation he's going to begin to give you is that you begin to realize that his name endures forever. May it continue as long as the sun. All the nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. You'll get a desire for the nations. You'll get a desire to go on mission trips. And if you can't, you'll be supporting people with prayer, and if you're able to financially, so they can go. All these things happen not because you're told to by a man. The Holy Ghost begins to give you this desire in your heart just in the midst of praise and worship. We used to plant churches with the revivals that we've had in Australia. We used to plant churches from it. We used to all sorts of ministries develop that people got in the midst of praising and worshiping in one of these areas. And they just get these desires. And I'd say, if God's telling you to do it, go and do it. And we'll help train you and release you into that from the Word of God. But just go and do it. I was amazed. No wonder the church just kept growing and the revival kept growing and growing and growing. Because people began to think, wow, I'm really special to God. I can really do this. In praise and worship, and I'm a strong believer in the preaching of word, in the Word of God, but in praise and worship, more destiny can be released, more power on people can be released, more revelation of God can be released right in the midst of praise and worship, way more than could come through preaching. And I'm a great believer in the preaching of the Word of God. So it's to bless, to kneel, to bless God as an act of worship. Just come to the, just get on your instruments, guys, if you don't mind, even the drums. If you could just start playing quietly, whatever you feel to play. But to yadah is to worship God with extended hands. To barak is to kneel, to bless God as an act of worship. This is something how it goes. And I'm trying to demonstrate this, but pick up the spirit of what I'm saying. We're just going back to yadah for a minute. And we looked at Psalm 28, verse 7. You know, begin to worship God with extended hands. Begin to say, you know, just a little bit louder on the instruments there. The Lord is my strength, and He is my shield. And my heart does trust in Him, and my soul does yearn for Him. We're worshiping God, and this adoration is just coming. If you pick up the spirit, you can feel it in here. You know, sometimes you sing the word. Obviously, I'm just singing what the praise, the Yadah worship from Psalm 28, verse 7. And my heart does leap for joy, and I'll give thanks to Him in song. Ooh, I'll give thanks to Him in song. You can feel it. God's been very gracious tonight. We'll give thanks to You in song. We extend our hands to You. I'll just follow You. If I go off, don't worry. Ooh. We will extend our hands to You. Oh, and we worship Your holy name. For You give Your people strength. You're a fortress of salvation. You save Your people, Lord. This is all coming out of Yadahing the Lord. We extend our hands to You, and we worship You, and adore Your name. Let's keep worshiping God. Then you look at Barak, back over in Psalm 72. You can turn there if you want. Sing along. Verse 15. This is now Baraking the Lord. We're kneeling before God to bless God as an act of adoration to His name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Man, I feel the anointing. Oh, long may He live. May gold come from Sheba. May it be given to Him. For the silver and gold is mine. May people ever pray for Him and bless Him all day long. Let Your grain abound through the land. On tops of the hills may it sway. Let fruit flourish in Lebanon. May His name endure forever. Oh yeah, Lord. And all nations will be blessed through You. And they will call Him blessed. And they'll call us blessed as we're baraking before the Lord, as we're kneeling. We adore You, Lord. We adore You. Now, if you look in your own spirit, you're getting things too. Just sing it out. Sing it out. You guys get songs, just sing them. Psalm 138. In Psalm 138, it says this in verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord. I will semah you. I will strike with the fingers to touch the strings or parts of a musical instrument, accompanied by the voice that we've all gotten here tonight, to celebrate in song and music. I will celebrate before you in song and music, O Lord, with all my heart. That heart means the mind, will, emotions. People say, well, I won't worship God unless the Holy Spirit touches me. When he touches your heart, friends, you respond emotionally to him by the lifting of the feet, the lifting of the hands, falling down under the power of God, or falling to our knees, or getting lying down before God. This is what it's all about, friends. It's as simple as anything. God's given us the keys and how to get into his glory. It's all here in the Word of God. Yet we miss over it for church. It's terrible. I will praise you, O God, with all my heart. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the other so-called gods, I will sing your praise. And I'll bow down towards you, Lord. For your love and your faithfulness. For you've been exalted above all things. Your name and your word. Your name and your word. All I'm doing is singing the verses that are around these. These praise words to celebrate in music and singing. Zamar worship, in fact, any one of these can be fast moving. You can be yadaring the Lord, worshiping God with extended hands while the music and the worship's fast paced. You can be kneeling before God as an act of adoration, which we think only comes in real quiet worship. No. Things can be going berserk all around you. People can be running around the church. People can be shouting and screaming. It doesn't matter if it's Yada, everything has to be quiet. Ooh. It's religious. On the other hand, you can be celebrating with great joy by only just whispering to God. It's not about the noise, friends. It's about being led by the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. So another one in Psalm 21. La 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 la. Na 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 na. Still talking about Zamar, Psalm 21, verse 13. It says there, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing in praise. We will sing in Zamar. We will celebrate in song and music. We'll strike the fingers. You guitarists, a bit more volume. Bass guitar. Drums, play. Even if you just got to hit those timbals, whatever. With the voice, because it's singing in voice. We somehow speed it up. God wants a celebration to come in here. Come on, stand to your feet, just celebrate. If you feel just to dance in the aisles, dance. If you feel to run, run. Whatever you're feeling is in God. Oh, we worship you. We will celebrate. In song and music, Lord, we will celebrate
Yeah. We will celebrate. We will celebrate with joy in our hearts, Lord. Be exalted, O God, in your strength. We'll sing and praise your power, Lord. Be exalted, O Lord, in your power and strength. We will exalt your name. Oh, we will worship you, oh Lord. We will worship you. We celebrate, Lord. We celebrate. La 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 la.
We're going to get back into it in a minute, but I distinctly felt the anointing changes we were worshipping then, where a healing anointing is coming from the musical instruments, and a part of Zamar worship is where people begin to get delivered and healed where you're at. You don't have to wait for a word of knowledge, you can receive it right where you are. You need healing in your body. See, what happens is, it doesn't always work this way, sometimes it comes through a man's voice, the preaching of the word. But tonight, it's coming through Zamar worship, the striking of the fingers, musical instruments, the piano, the drums, the guitars, the voice. And as you begin just to reach out, I'd like everybody here who needs deliverance from something, you've got something holding you back. I'm not saying you're full of devils, but there's just something holding you back. Or you just need healing in your body. Will you come quickly down here and listen to this music? Go back to that same beat. And expect God to hear. Rejoice! Oh, rejoice! Receive your healing! Receive your deliverance! In the name of the Lord! Oh! Oh, receive it as the music's been played. Receive it. Oh,
your deliverance. Oh, celebrate. Yeah. Oh. Guys, just a bit more quieter. This is Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will praise, I will yada. Sorry, I will zama. I will strike with the fingers to touch the musical parts of an instrument. Accompanied by the voice, I will celebrate the song of music. It says, I will sing, I will praise and make music. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're making music. And I'm telling you, a lot of bondages here tonight have just dropped off. Some of you who came out the front were sick in your body. You check yourself out, you'll find you're healed. Why? Because the anointing is just coming through the music. I didn't know that could happen. That's why we explain it to you from the Word of God. It's probably been happening every meeting. But it's happening now. It's happening here. Go a little bit more quiet. Let me keep teaching this. Holy Ghost has been very, very gracious tonight. There's Yada, there's Barak, there's Zema, and there's Todah. Say Todah. That's very similar to Yada, but it means an extension of the hands, especially in a choir of worshippers. Now, we immediately think of a choir that stands at the back there, and that's got its place. But what this is referring to is a congregation as a choir. What we've been doing tonight, individually we can lift our hands, but corporately we've been lifting our hands. That turns into Todah worship. An extension of the hands, especially in a choir of worshippers. And this is what is released in this type of atmosphere. Psalm 50, verse 23. He who sacrifices praise offerings honors me. He who sacrifices corporate extending of the hands. Corporate extending of the hands. When we're led by the Holy Ghost to do this, this is the anointing it releases. You ready for this? Well, I can find the jolly thing. Where is it? Here it is. Verse 23. He sacrifices Todah worship, honors me. So we honor God by extending our hands corporately. And he prepares the way. Who prepares the way? God prepares the way so that I will show him the salvation of the Lord. We begin to see God. We begin to see. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We begin to see the destiny. We begin to see the plan that God has got for our life. We begin to see the pitfalls that are stopping us from going ahead. And we give them to God in this type of worship. Destiny is released. We know who we are in Christ. That's why it's so important to enter into all these different forms of worship. But once again, you just can't decide to do it. We all got to make up our minds. We're coming to these meetings to worship God. But then we've got to be open to the Spirit and how He wants us to do it. It usually starts off with praise because we bring a sacrifice of praise to our God. But He can do whatever He likes. The next one is halal. Say halal.
Halal is what? A form of worship that happens a lot. But this word halal, it means to make show, to boast, to be foolish, to rave, to spin around and celebrate, and to shine. That's halal. So it's very biblical that when we want to make show, we're showing off before God, not before man. We're worshiping Him, not performing before man. We begin to boast of who God is. We begin to be foolish, which means we sit in the corner with a basket on our head. That's what the Lord told Pastor Vaughan to do the other night. We begin to rave. Raving isn't just, you know, we go to a football match or a soccer match, whatever, and your favorite hero kicks a goal. You just don't sit there and say, well, jolly good, wasn't that wonderful? You begin to rave, wow! Yeah. We come to church, is it right to rave? I've just told you it is from the Word of God. We rave in our God. Now this is amazing. We often get the impression from a religious perspective that worship is just some quiet, boring thing. But it's not at all. Look at Psalm 35. Just listen to this. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
Psalm 35, verse 18. It says, I will give you thanks. I will praise you. I will halal you. I will spin around and rave and act foolish. In the midst of the great assembly, in other words, among throngs of people, throngs of people, I will praise you. It means before anybody. God wants us to go loony before Him. He does. It's a fact. He wants us to express ourselves before Him. Hey, what about Psalm 150? Some of us know that. Nearly every praise word is halal in Psalm 150. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. Halal the Lord. I'll just use different words here because it's all the same. Most of these praise words, 1, 2, 3, 4, yep, they're all halal, every one of them. I will make show in the sanctuary. I will boast before Him in His mighty heavens. I will be foolish for His acts of power. I will rave for His surpassing greatness. I will celebrate with the sounding of the trumpet. I will shine with the harp and the lyre. I will shine. I will spin around and twirl with the tambourine and dancing. I will be foolish and rave with the stringed and the instruments and the flute. I will halal Him with the crash of the cymbals. Crash of the cymbals. That's not a crash. Crash. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Bang, bang. Come on, let's praise Him. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Yeah. Man. Yes. That's Hillel. And then the sixth Hebrew word is Shabak. Shabak means to address the Lord in a loud tone, to praise and glory in His name. Look at Psalm 63, verse 3. I want you to see it in His word. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you. My lips will shabak you. My lips will address you in a loud tone. So when we shout in church, there's the biblical. There's many of them. I'm just giving you a few scriptures here and there. There are times when the Lord puts on our heart to shout before Him. And what has happened in that time of shouting? What is God doing? I will praise Him as long as you live. In your name I lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied with the riches of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And if you keep on going on, it's also talking about spiritual warfare. Pushes back the powers of darkness over your life, over this city, wherever else you're from. That's the power of shabaking before God. One more scripture in Joshua chapter 6. We all know this pretty well. It's when the Lord tells Joshua to get the people to walk around the walls of Jerusalem. Sorry, Jericho, you're right. No, He didn't tell them to walk around Jerusalem. I was only testing you to see if you knew what I was saying. No, I wasn't. Freudian slip. But Jericho is tightly shut in. Tells the children of Israel to walk around the walls of Jericho once a day, then on the last day, seven times. Then He tells the trumpeters to, and the, you know, begins to sound the horn. I just want to get you the exact scripture. I think it's around about verse 20. When the trumpet sounded and the people shouted, and all the sound, when the people shabaked, and all the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city, and they devoted the city to God and destroyed everything that was wicked. See, how silly is that? That word collapse actually means fell flat. It means the huge walls didn't just fall that way, or they fell flat. Like hundreds of angels were standing on top of it, it just flattened it to the ground. That's what it means. Impossible. But they're shouting, release the hosts of heaven. I would love to have seen that day. Guarantee their angels, bang, flew from heaven, stood on top of that wall, flattened the thing. And that's what happens. We need things flattened in our life. It's very biblical to give a shout offering. And I want us to shout before God. On the count of three, I want you to give Him the biggest shout. If you lose your voice, well, you'll find it somewhere. It'll be somewhere in the building. You'll be fine. Can everybody hear me all right out there? Good. The count of three, I want you to shout. Areas of your life that you're in defeat, whether it's in debt, or you just believe for spiritual breakthroughs, I want you to shout and command those walls in Jesus' name to fall flat. And God will honor that because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. One, two, three. Yeah! Break down the walls of the city. Break down the walls of the city. Break down the walls of the city. There's power in here tonight, friends. See, that's what the Word of God does. Last one is called Tehillah. Say Tehillah. That means laudation. It means spontaneous praise. In Psalm 9, it's not necessarily, it can be singing of hymns and songs, but it's basically what we're doing tonight, spontaneous worship, spontaneous singing. Psalm 9 verse 14 says, well, verse 13, O Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises, that I may declare your Tehillah praises, that I may spontaneously with my voice, lift my voice and spontaneously sing in the gates of the daughters of Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. It's not talking about some Mormon worship again. It's talking about rejoicing. The nations have fallen to the pit they have dug. Their feet have caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by justice. The wicked are ensnared in the works of their hands. And it all begins to talk about, you know, that the Lord will strike down the enemy with terror. It's not physical human beings, the demonic spirits in this world. You know, we could, in this type of worship, be interceding for a country which they get mighty breakthroughs and will never know till heaven. This type of worship is phenomenal. It's an amazing situation. One more scripture. There's many scriptures, but just one more in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when the Judah is going out to battle, and they actually get three of the enemy nations all decide to join together to wipe out Judah. And this is the strange word of the Lord that comes out in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. After consoling the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him. That word praise means, and to Tehillah him. He appointed men to go out there and sing the high praises of God, whatever God was telling him to sing in their hearts. To praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out as the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon rose up against Moab, against the men from Mount Seir, to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. The enemies that came together that would have wiped out Judah, all Jehoshaphat did, as from a word from the Lord, was send out the singers singing mighty songs about the splendor of his holiness. His love endures forever. Spontaneously singing. And the enemy got their swords and just killed each other. This type of worship releases a confusion in the enemy camp. The devil's already brainless. He doesn't know what he's doing. He puts a counterfeit plan for this revival. He wants this wiped out. But as we get into this sort of worship, we confuse him. And he ends up killing his own self in the spirit, I mean. I'm telling you. Even people who rise up against you will just be confused. It's the way it happens. Also, Tehillah praise is responsive worship. That means the choir leader, worship leader, whoever's leading the meeting, begins to sing a song. And I'm just going to sing something that I want you all to respond. It is Jesus, all right? What key are we in there? Just play the key of C. So whenever I sing, you respond, it is Jesus. Who is the King of Glory? And who died for your sins? And who is the resurrection and the life? And who's coming back again? And who is the one you love? So let's rejoice. Let's rejoice in our Savior. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. Thank you, Lord. different expressions. I don't think you're going to remember them all. But you need to get the tape of this. I'll provide notes for you musos. And you need to study them. Because I'm telling you, I got this. I didn't get this from Aesop's Fables. I got this on my knees. And I'm not the only one. There's been many who've got this revelation. But the revelation I've received from those words is unique to myself. That's why it's come across with so much power. But listen, this type of stuff, friends, releases revival power and releases the glory of God. You won't get it just through song singing. It just will not happen. Songs are a vehicle to get in the spirit. Once you get in the spirit, say goodbye to the songs and get into the high praises of God. That's what will release the glory. Nothing else will. And people do not get tired of this sort of thing. If you do this as a religious form, it's just like singing a song. But when it's anointed, and when the glory of God comes, there's a couple of times in the meeting where I really felt the weight of God come in here. How many of you felt that, this weight? I didn't know whether to laugh, cry, I didn't know what to do. But I knew God was here. So I didn't really know how it would go teaching you. To demonstrate and teach at the same time. But you guys are exceptional. I mean, they give these guys a hand. They really are. I've tried to do this in other churches with bands equally as good as these guys, and they just didn't get it. So I just said, oh, forget it. I'll preach on something else. And everyone's like, huh? They just didn't get it. A lot of people don't. You see, you people are responding to it because you're not coming out just to meetings. I really believe you all want to see revival. I really do. I do. Just take your seats for a few minutes. We're not finished yet. This is a bit different, isn't it? When are you going to make the altar call? We've had about 50 of them so far. Just keep letting the power of God come on you where you're sitting. Please come to these meetings with this in heart and mind. It'll go to a whole different level. Some of the revivals that I was pastoring in Australia, I'm telling you, sometimes it was just warfare praise right from the word go. All the song lists went out the window when the anointing was there for it. If it wasn't there, we'd build up to it. But sometimes it was there, man, and it would come through in power. And I used to be so blown away with the goodness of God, how he changed people's lives. But that's the 80s style. That's what a lot of people have said to me. Some people don't like me coming to the churches preaching on this stuff. They say it's an 80s flow. I say, well, I thought it was a Book of Acts flow, but if that's an 80s flow, then why the world did we leave the 80s? We should have kept that. No, God gave a revelation to churches around about the 80s and on this sort of flow, 70s and 80s actually. We just lost it. That's what happened. We're supposed to add to our faith. We're supposed to add to moves of God. Not say, well, we'll leave that alone now. And the next revival that's hitting, which I believe we're at the beginning of here, is going to be a revival of holiness, of joy, of souls, of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God, of worship. Every revival that's ever existed and happened since the Book of Acts till now, the next revival will have a little bit of everything in it. It will. That's why God's been doing it. Why? Because when the next revival hits the world, that's it. No more. Jesus is coming, friends. Everybody's preparing the next generations, the little kids. That's nothing wrong with that. But I think we should be preparing ourselves, friends. By example of our own life, of being passionate for God, our kids grow up in that. Make it sound like we've got hundreds of generations to go. I don't believe we have. I don't know when the last days are in the sense of when he's coming, but there's only one prophecy to be fulfilled, and that's when the gospel is preached to all nations. I think there's about 15 nations in the world now that haven't heard the gospel yet. It's not many to go. I'm telling you, it could be 10 years left, could be 50, could be a day. I used to dedicate little children when I was a pastor, leading revivals. try to make Sunday morning normal so we could do baby dedications and weddings and things like that. In the end, I gave up doing weddings because the bridal party and the bridegroom, they're under the power of God. And all their unsaved friends would sit there and say, then the joy would hit. So I thought, oh, God, can't do anything normal. Dedicate babies, and I've got the little child in my hands, and all the parents fall out. But oh, well, it's different. I just couldn't click it off because it's the anointing on my life. But I remember I used to dedicate little babies in that atmosphere, and God used to speak to me. I never used to say it publicly. I only ever did it once. This child will never see death. Won't even grow up into its 20s. Jesus will be coming. He will experience the rapture, the coming of Christ. Now, you don't want to put that into the hearts of parents who've got, because the Bible tells us we'd occupy ourselves till we come. We're meant to plan for our children. Even if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, we plan like they're going to live into their old life. You know, that's the way it happens. But when you get into the glory, you begin to pick up. Not the day or the hour, because no one knows that. But we begin to pick up an urgency. Jeez, ain't much time to go. But then again, Paul the Apostle, they preached like Jesus was coming back in their day. Over 2,000 years later. He's a marvelous God. You see, we want him to hit revival. And worship is a great expression. You've got a worship band that is willing to adapt and to go into this realm. But when you start to hear the reports, guys, of people being healed while you're playing, when you're strumming on that guitar and piano and drums and voices, and people start coming saying, oh, in worship, I was feeling really heavy. It just lifted off me while in worship. But and I had a real bad back problem that just went. That happens to you. Encourage these guys. Say that happened. So they know that it's not a game. They don't think it's a game. They take it very, but you know, it encourages you. Encourages me when people come up and say, boy, I was led to the Lord. I'm on Facebook, and the amount of people that see me on Facebook who I led to the Lord in the 80s and late 70s, and people who were healed under my ministry that can't even remember them. Steve, I was at your crusade in 1982. My wife and my children and all that were all serving Jesus today because I came to the front as a young man to give my life to Christ. I was booked in for a heart operation, and it was cancelled because you had a word of knowledge. I have no trouble with my heart since. Just things like that. I mean, I get flabbergasted, but it encourages me because I think it's not a waste of time. Flying to the nations is not a waste of time. I miss my own country. I miss my family and everything in me. I was planning to go back. Take my family, of course, back there in May and until Kingston Fire. That's all changed now. Probably go back for a holiday at some point. But I'm sticking this thing through. I'm not here for a month or two. We're here to see this thing, because if we're going to see a full-blown revival, yeah, we have to stay. We have to do our part. My part's to be a catalyst in breaking through this thing. And I understand now why God's given me all this revelation on stuff that, I mean, I haven't preached on this stuff for years, apart from when I start my own churches, because nobody wants to hear about it. They don't want to hear about this stuff. And I feel like in my ministry, I think all the teachings and the manuals and the dozens of manuals I've got, all to do with the glory of God and the anointing, it's for this. I'm convinced of it. Because I've never felt such a release in my heart to preach on it. And tonight, that sealed it for me. I thought, that is just uncanny. You don't understand. To be able to just talk about a few things and you people enter right into it straight away. You're hungry for God, man. There's an anointing of revelation. There is. I can be as anointed as I like. I could have a great impartation gift. But if you ain't going to receive it, that amounts to a hill of beans. You just take it straight away. I didn't feel anybody questioning it. Mind you, it would be a bit hard to, because I was going directly from the Word of God. But just that doesn't matter. You just took it straight away. How many of that was new to you tonight? You're not used to that sort of thing. How many of you in your experience have seen that sort of thing before? Okay, that's wonderful. That's about half. I bet you it was a long time ago, though, wasn't it? Probably the 80s. Yeah. You gone back to what? Actually, we're just going back to God, really. Now listen, you can sing the modern songs and still get into this worship. We're not talking about throwing the baby out with the bathwater. In the kingdom of God, you take the old and the new. Old what's anointed and the new that's anointed. Chuck out the junk that's not anointed, because there's a lot of praise music that's nothing but soulish today, where people are writing songs just to make money in the market. And it stirs it. I preached in this church once, and they were singing this great hit song, which I won't name it. And I'm sitting, where was I? I think I was up on the platform for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, everybody's dancing and praising God. I thought, wow, what a hot church. You know, an evangelist dreamed of preaching a church like that. And all of a sudden, I see demons dancing in the aisles to the music. And they're jiving while they're all singing about Jesus and singing this very popular song that I won't mention because it's a very anointed song. But when you sing it in the flesh, demons dance to it. And they're all dancing up and down, these jolly demons. And I thought, what the heck's happening? He says, they're here to impress you. Not the demons, the people. You're the guest speaker. They're showing you how good they are. The band, how good they are. The people are... Their heart's not even worshipping me. He said, stop this meeting now and tell them what you're seeing and tell them to sing the same song after repenting and sing it now in the spirit from their heart. And so I thought, boy, I better ask the pastor this because it wasn't my church. I said, hey, this is very strange, but there's demons dancing in your church to this song. But he trusted me, this man. He said, well, whatever, Steve, you know. So I told the people, they looked at me in shock. I said, you need to repent. And I heard a whole lot of muttering going on. And I said, now sing the same song with the same fervency, but from here, not from here, with a performance mode. And the power of God took off, and those demons, I saw that God gave me a discernment gift, and they just took off through the walls. And that was a powerfully anointed meeting. Demons respond to soulish music. Now, let's not get religious and worry about what's soulish music, what isn't. You can sing a great song. You can sing a worldly song and God will anoint it. It depends on what spirit you sing it in. I could play a theme from The Gladiator and people would be released here who've got areas of their life that they're not living in victory in. All right, I'll show you. How many people here are not living in victory in your life? I'm serious. That's going to be a hard one. How many of you are struggling with sin in your life? I'm not asking you what, and I'm not going to expose it, but you're just struggling, and you really would love to be set free. If I was in a meeting like this, and a big mouth was at the front telling me the good news that I could be free, I'd swallow my stinking pride and get free. So I want those people who are struggling with areas of your life. I don't care what it is. We're not going to start naming. Sin just means missing the mark. You know you're missing the mark in areas of your life. It could be fear. It could be lust. It could be a whole number of things. Things that we've all been tempted with. So nobody is going to look at you and think, who? So come on, stand to your feet now and come out the front, those who are struggling with things in your life. And just through a simple little tune that was written, I write a song that they sing in a lot of places around the world. That one we sang the other night. I don't want to live without you, Lord. You really want to buy my CDs that are on sale downstairs, friends. I'm not just doing it for promotion, but you will catch the spirit of this and those CDs. Even though I'm just singing songs, you will catch the spirit of it. Because I wrote those songs, or I used those songs from others, writers, and a mixture of both. And you will find that in right from quiet times to journey with the Holy Spirit, to worship the Father, to higher ground, as you listen to those songs, as you meditate on them, you'll start to feel that anointing, what we're getting into now. Because that's me. Tonight is just what I do. Now, God's going to help you, wonderful people. Now, what I want you to do is, as I begin to play this little song, and if the musos catch on, you can play too if you want. It's a theme from The Gladiator. You seen The Gladiator? Old Russell Crowe? When he looks around and he says to the emperor, I'm a father to a murdered wife. No, I'm a father to a murdered son. I'm a husband to a murdered wife, and I'll get my revenge in this life or the next. And at the end, he kills the emperor, and he deserved it. Don't worry, God's not going to kill you tonight. But there's a tune that starts at the beginning of that movie that hit me just like when I wrote the song, I Don't Want to Live Without You, Lord. You know what I was doing when God gave me that song? Watching Lethal Weapon 1, Mel Gibson. And he's in the silo and he gets shot by some guy, and he's there and his mate, his partner thought he was dead, remember? And they start to sing that song. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. And as I'm sitting there, the power of God hit me and said, I don't want to live without you, Lord. Got it from the tune, knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. And then God gave me the verses all in about 2 minutes. And that song is one of the, it's the song we've used here a couple of times that goes right into worship with it. I got that from watching Lethal Weapon. Heard the song, The Power of Your Love? Yeah. Lord, I come to you. Well, the man who wrote that song is a very good friend of mine. And he got that song on the toilet. We think we've got to be so spiritual. It's the truth. Yes, it's a bit of a bummer, eh? Anyway.